I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell will be back tomorrow night. Be getting all back together again tomorrow for the first time in quite some time since the break. And so I'm looking at a very forlorn, a very grumpy Zoom call with Donovan Mitchell right now. After the Jazz have just fallen to the Brooklyn Nets, and they're first of a I mean, that East Coast swing is tough. It's already going to be a long road trip for them. But to lose 130-96, which they did tonight, the Jazz, they shot under 40% from the field. Just as discouraging is on the defensive side of things, giving up 130 points, Matt Biamonte. But they also almost 60% from the field were the Nets. And so Rudy Gobert struggled underneath the hoop. The couple times that I saw Derek Favors in, struggled. And so the defensive side of things for the Jazz tonight, not looking good. Very energized Nets team. The Jazz struggle tonight and lose by 34 there in Brooklyn. Pretty big shocker considering that Kevin Durant being gone was kind of the highlight of this thing for Jazz fans who were thinking, hey, maybe they have a chance in Brooklyn. Not even close.
I think the thing that really shocks me is you would think in a blowout loss like this that Donovan Mitchell maybe didn't play well. But you look at his stat line, 31 points, 10 to 22, 45% shooting from the field. That's pretty good. I mean, you don't look at the box score and see 5 of 25. I mean, 31 points from him, he showed up. It's just Rudy Gobert and I think the bigs as a whole, the Jazz were out rebounded by the Nets. Jared Allen outplayed Rudy Gobert. That doesn't help. And I think we're starting to see somewhat of an issue. And we talked about this while you were out last week, me and Ben Anderson. Joe Ingles does not look right. And that was someone for a long time that Quinn Snyder could rely on as a six-man candidate. He could run the offense a little bit, shoot threes, play good defense. He just looks like a shell of himself right now. And that really hurts the bench for Utah. Just not as much depth if he's not playing up to the caliber that I think Jazz fans expect from Joe Ingles.
It's a weird night when you lose by this much because they were down basically by 20 at the half and then stayed down by 20 through most of that third quarter, and then the starters came out and the second team, third team guys for the Nets really kind of took over and even took it to the next level. But it's a waste of a night in a way because You don't see the stars go in. They don't have the lineups. They're not working on anything, it seems like, except for just going, well, they were in foul trouble. There's all the things you hate about a game like this. And most of all, you can't work on anything because you don't have in these closer games against teams in the East like the Nets, who are automatic contenders because they have KD and Kyrie Irving, on that team. You go, okay, well, how are you going to do against teams like this who everybody looks at and is the number one media market in the country in New York to go, what are they doing? Well, they're beating up on the Jazz by 34 points, and that's the last thing you want. It's just hard to work on stuff when you don't have your full team together. Now you're not working on anything. And so to lose by 34 going in, I think with 6 or 7 minutes left, all the starters were on the bench just kind of saying, hey, let's get him tomorrow. But it's tough. I mean, they were on the flip side of this the other day when they blew out the Spurs at their place, and then they go in and they go into Brooklyn and they lay a massive egg tonight, losing by 34 there to the Nets. And so I always wonder, what are you getting with this team this early in the season?
Yep.
What is it worth getting grumpy about after game six? You know what I mean? So the Jazz are 3-3. What does that mean on the season? Nothing. Because I don't know if the Jazz know that much about themselves compared to where other teams are at right now. On top of the fact that they're all dealing with new travel restrictions, with new everything on how to stay, how to live, how to, you know, it's not the bubble, but it's its own version of a bubble, traveling around to these places so that they can continue to play these games at the rate that they're doing it. So they're trying to figure things out, and I'm sure that Quinn Snyder's going to be pretty upset with this result. I just think Jazz fans need to you can't look at a game like this. You just have to go, just like the blowout win over the Spurs the other night is not an indicator as to exactly what this team is. The loss by 34 tonight against the Nets, obviously not an indicator of that either.
Sometimes the follow-up, I think, helps illuminate what happened the night before, and now that the Jazz have the Knicks next, I think will help us understand a little bit more what this Jazz team is going through right now, because this Knicks team, they're better, but they're still not great. Now, Julius Randle has been unbelievable to start the season for the Knicks, but if Utah can bounce back and win, then maybe you chalk this loss up to, hey, just an off night, things got out of hand in the first quarter, we couldn't recover. But if they go and play the Knicks and then have another, I don't think they're going to get blown out by the Knicks, but maybe they struggle again, then you really have to start to wonder if there's something that needs to be resolved, whether it's a tweak with the lineup, specifically around Joe Ingles. Maybe you give him a different role or less minutes. So this Knicks game upcoming for the Jazz, I think, is going to reveal a lot about maybe what happened tonight against the Nets.
Joe Ingles tonight, I don't know. I don't know what you expect out of the guy. I mean, I don't know what people. He's an older gentleman, Matt. I don't know how we put this now. A veteran. It used to be like he's a wily veteran, but yeah, it just has not been the version of Joe Ingles that we're necessarily used to. Here's one of the bright spots from this evening, though.
It's rally time, and Bogey gets the ball down. The pass out. He finds Clarkson wide open for the three. Joe Ingles making magic happen with his handles, and Rudy with a strong finish, and then they run it back. Same play. Joe fakes it off.
Don't you feel like that was like a highlight from the other night? Like, it was like, I think we got the wrong night. What do you mean Joe Ingles with the handles? Like, I'm wondering what I saw, because I'm watching the game tonight, and I'm going, there was never any doubt that the Nets – I mean, the Nets had so much more energy, and at some point when you're down by 30 and it's the middle of the third quarter, at some point you just kind of give up. I mean, at least that's what I saw, especially when the starters started coming out. So everybody's going to try to figure out exactly what the Jazz are going to be over the next few weeks. But I would say I wouldn't even try to understand what this team is until you know, this is about the time when we start paying attention to NBA games you know, during the calendar year. That's all been pushed back by a couple months. So maybe just give them a couple months. Give them till March. Dip in when college basketball is kind of wrapping up, and go, okay, where are the Jazz now? And then you'll have a better idea as to where this team is. I don't know. I'm a creature of habit, Matt, and I don't watch NBA games at the beginning of the season because these teams haven't figured themselves out usually at this point, and even less so this year when you have these guys who were drafted 10 minutes ago and they've already got minutes. You know, on for all these different teams. I mean, I'm watching. I'm going, Sam Merrill's hitting three pointers for the Bucks. Wasn't he drafted 5 seconds ago? How did they determine that he's already on the roster? So everybody's trying to figure things out at a different rate this year, and I think you're going to have to wait even longer this season.
You can't wait too long though, because there's about 10 fewer games, and so we're still so early in the season. I get what you're saying, Alex. It's not time to hit the panic button, but there are things that need to be monitored, and I think. At the forefront of that is that production you get from guys outside of Donovan Mitchell. Because if you, I mean, this is no surprise. This isn't rocket science here. But Bogdanovich, Rudy, and Conley score 20 points, then you're not going to win a lot of basketball games.
I'm trying to pitch how this thing looks bad for the Lakers. Oh, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go. The Lakers currently tied with the Suns in the West. That's as good as I've got.
At the top of the West, you left
second
out, though. So,
listen, yeah. Listen. Just by virtue of them having, I don't know, the ESPN's put them in third place. I'm going to just take it at that. I know they're all tied up, but and the Jazz are just one game behind that. So, all right, taking the break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that difficult BYU football schedule. We'll get into a little bit of that, how it was, how it came about that BYU and Gonzaga are going to be playing now on Thursday.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.